Well, good morning again, and it's good to be here with you today. Feels good up here because I have a fan, so. We should have like those old fans like we used to have. Old bulletins, too. We used to have old bulletins that you could fold. I remember as a kid folding them into these little fans, and they were the really long ones. They were great for that. But it's good to be here with you today and good to be able to just share God's word with you this morning. And so I've entitled my message this morning, I called it the White Flag of Victory. And then I saw that we sung a song called White Flag. So that thought, wow, that fits in nicely. Good. So the White Flag of Victory. It was the summer of 1996. I had just started into working at a church, my home church in Victoria. I was 21 years old, and I just graduated from Bible college. My senior pastor was Alan McLean. He was a great guy. He had retired, but when our pastor had left the church had asked him if he would consider coming out of retirement to pastor our little church there in Victoria until we could find somebody. And he was the kind of guy that would just sort of say what he thought. I don't know if you've ever run into anybody like that, but he would just say what he thought. As he was preaching, he'd come across something, and he'd say something crazy about politicians, not specifically, but in general. He said stuff about babies that, you know, you would just think, what? Whether you agreed or not with what he said, his honesty was very, very refreshing. But at the same time, you would look over at the person next to you and you just couldn't believe that he actually said that. And so you would, and I would look up at the front and I'd always see his wife sitting in the sort of the front row as he was preaching. And she'd have her head in her hands and shaking her head like this because she couldn't believe what he was saying. And I can't really, with all honesty, share with you what he said, but maybe I'll do that after. I don't have that same ability to just sort of speak whatever I think. But Alan, though, whatever he said and whatever you thought of him, he was the real deal. He was the real guy, and to know him is to love him. And one day we were on our way up to our denominational Bible camp, Cowichan River, for one of the evening services. And Alan and Barb were in the front seat, and I was in the back seat alone. And there was some driver that had cut him off or didn't use his blinker, and he was getting mad at them, getting agitated. And he used to like to call people boneheads, so he'd be calling them that. And he was getting mad at the traffic, mad at the drivers, and you could see him getting more and more sort of agitated. And remember, this is Duncan, B.C. This is not Vancouver. This is Duncan, small town Duncan. But I remember his wife, Barb, turning her attention to him. And while he was yelling about boneheads in the traffic, she started to yell at him, and she was yelling and saying, "Alan, Alan, don't lose the victory, Alan. Alan, don't lose the victory." And for whatever reason, I'm sitting in the back seat at 21, and this really struck me quite funny. I didn't really know kind of what she was talking about. Like, why are you saying? And maybe you can identify with me on this. Sometimes I hear Christians and I feel like I should know what they're saying, but I don't really know what they're talking about. They're using words that I'm familiar with, but the way they're using them, it doesn't always make sense to me. And even to this day, and sometimes I find myself smiling and nodding, but I don't really know what they're talking about. And so this was one of those circumstances. Don't lose the victory, Alan. As Christians, we talk about living the victorious life, walking in victory, having victory. We sing songs about it. We have talked in the past about not losing the victory, gaining the victory. What does it really mean? And what is being a victorious Christian? And I noted that if I were to ask a few people maybe here, I would ask them, you know, are you a victorious Christian? Maybe a lot of times we would say yes because we feel like that's the right answer, but we sure don't feel like it. We struggle away with stuff like anger, lust, bitterness. We try to have lots of willpower at times to be that person, but that eventually fails us, and we try to fight off that sin maybe that seems to come and bring us down all the time. We end up feeling like a failure, and maybe we just give up and say, well, that's just the way it is, I guess. Or we look around at other Christians and we feel like they're living the victorious life, but not me. Is that what the victorious Christian life is? Something that everyone else can experience, but I can't. And even as I say it, the victorious Christian life, we all conjure up different ideas and images in our mind of what that looks like. For some of us, it means never sinning again. Then I will be living the victorious Christian life. And for some of us, it means that I'm successful in life. It's the lack of suffering we have attached to the good life, to the victorious life. For some of us, it might conjure up in your mind, some of us using gifts are manifesting through us, like gifts of healing or prophecy. And when I'm walking in those things, when I'm using those gifts, then I'm walking in victory. And I'd like to suggest this morning that really none of those things define what it is to walk in victory, to live in victory. I believe to live the victorious Christian life is to grow in our reflection of Christ. That next year I would see more of Christ in you, and you would see more of Christ in me. And so here's the big idea for today that we're going to try and hit. And if you remember nothing else, remember this one statement, and it's in your notes there. Victorious living is not about our surrounding circumstances, but it is found in the surrender of the saints. A few weeks ago, I was reading through our Bible plan, and I came across a couple of verses, a story that just sort of jumped out at me. They just sort of have that life in them for today. I mean, all Scripture is from God, but that word for today just kind of jumps out at you. And so I was reading along, and probably about maybe a month ago, Joshua chapter 7, and I came to this story. And these are going to be the verses that, when the story that we're going to springboard off today, that are going to help us to look at this idea of victory and what it actually means to live in victory as a follower of Jesus, to really live the life that we were called to live. And so if you have your Bibles today, take them and turn to Joshua chapter 7, and we're going to read from Joshua chapter 7, verses 1 to verse 13. It reads like this. It says, "But the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, to the east of Bethel, and told them, 'Go up and spy out the region.' So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, 'Not all the army will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not weary the whole army. For only a few people live there.' So about 3,000 went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, 'Alas, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Pardon your servant, Lord. What can I say? Now that Israel has been routed by its enemies, the Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this. And they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name?' The Lord said to Joshua, 'Stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen, they have lied, they have put them with their own possessions. That's why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Go consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. For with this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says.'" And this is what really jumped out at me. "There are devoted things among you, Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove them." Let's pray. Father, we just come to you today. And Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we just invite you to speak to us here today. God, we want to hear what you would say, what you would speak to us as individuals, and we want to hear what you'd have to say as you speak to us as a body together. And Lord, we just want to have open hearts. We want to have open ears. Lord, open our minds, God, to understand. Holy Spirit, we invite you to teach us this morning. So Lord, we invite you to do a work in our heart. Convict us where there needs to be conviction. Encourage us, give us strength where there needs action and courage. And Lord, we just give you the remainder of our time here together. We pray, Lord, that you would have your way and that you would do a mighty work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Before Ai, Israel had just crossed the Jordan. They had their first encounter in this sort of new promised land. We remember that they had been walking through the wilderness, and this was they had their first encounter as they came across the Jordan in their new promised land. Was their first battle was the city of Jericho. It was a big walled city, and the inhabitants of this land were to be cleared out. God had told them not to leave anything, clear it all out, and almost everything and everyone was, with a few exceptions. You see, Joshua, the leader of Israel that had taken over from Moses, had sent spies into the city of Jericho. And probably the most important thing, as I looked at that these spies learned was that Jericho had heard of Israel. And more importantly, Jericho had heard of their God. They had heard of the crossing of the Red Sea and what God did to the Egyptian army. They had heard of what God had done in Egypt to set them free as a nation of slaves. And they were terrified. They were petrified of this group, not because they were great warriors. It was a nation of slaves. They were terrified because of their God. Rahab was the only one who did anything. She had hid the spies. She covered for the spies. And as a result, she and all who were in her house were saved when the Israelites came in. We actually, if you're up to date on our Bible reading plan, you were just finished Ruth today. And if you remember Boaz's mother, I believe, was Rahab, this lady right here, which is in the line of Christ. But the spies, they escaped from Jericho through Rahab's help, and they reported back to Joshua. And these spies came back certain of victory. Ironically, I believe it was the faith in Israel's God from the people of Jericho, their enemies' faith in Israel's God, that gave Israel the faith to attack, certain of victory. And so Israel comes and they march around Jericho. Not a smart military tactic, but it was what God had told them to do. And so they march once around the city for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, they march seven times around. They blow their trumpets, they shout, and the walls come down. Wow. What a victory for Israel. But as God says at the end of the book of Joshua, as we read, you know, you really didn't do anything. I did everything when it came to clearing the land. And Israel went in and they destroyed everything for the most part. And now they come back and they're celebrating. We did it. Yeah, we did it. This is their first victory in our new land. I think for the first time they saw a future, a home, no more wandering. They were going to be a real nation, have land and permanent homes and cities with the names that they had named them. But God had promised they could actually start to see. All right, they say, we did it. We Jericho is down. Where's the next city? Let's start moving. It's exciting to see this start to begin to take shape. Nothing can stop us now. And so they look at the next city, and Joshua sends a couple more spies to the next city, Ai, the story we just read about. And they come back and they report. They say, no problem. No problem at all. As a matter of fact, don't even send the whole army, just a portion of the army. No sense tiring everyone out on such a small little city. I mean, look, we took Jericho, no problem. This shouldn't be an issue. And so they send a few thousand men. They march up confident, and all of a sudden they get defeated. They get destroyed. They run for their lives. People die. We say, whoa, hold the phone. Stop just a minute. What's going on here? God assured us of victory, they may say. He gave us this land. We won our last battle by the hand of the Lord, and now this? Lord, isn't this your battle? Lord, are you not victorious? And I feel like maybe, God, this is a mixed message, Lord. Have you ever had like this experience before in your life? Have you ever asked these sort of same questions of God as you've walked through things? Lord, isn't this your battle? Lord, how come this happened to me? I thought you would bring victory in this situation, and I was maybe sent running, barely able to escape with my life. Well, maybe it's not that bad, but it maybe felt like that at the moment. You ask God, what is this all about? This is where Joshua is right now. After the success of Jericho, they have this huge, unexpected defeat. And Joshua, he goes to God, as probably we have in these same situations and moments, and we said, what's up, God? What we see here is this man by the name of Achan. And Achan had taken some things that he wasn't supposed to take from the battle in Jericho. Some things that God had specifically told them not to take. Achan thought he could kind of get away with it and snuck them into his tent and hid them. But God knew what was going on. And Achan could not get away with that. Achan could not do things his way and at the same time have God fight for him. That wasn't how things worked. God was very specific with them. You follow me, and I will take you into this land. You only get into this land following me. And if we remember from the last time that I preached, we talked about the promised land as sort of one of the things for the believer was a picture of kind of heaven. It's not all it is, but that's one of the things that they look at the promised land like. And what is true of the physical promised land is also true of heaven. In a way, our kind of promised land. We have to go God's way. There's only one way, through Christ. Ultimately, he is our victory. On the cross, he cleared out the land. And as much as we may want to think, yet not all roads lead to the same destination. It's through Christ and only through Christ that we enter our promised land, heaven. We don't get there on our own terms. And so Joshua, he talks to the Lord and he says, Lord, what's up? And God's reply to this whole situation is their answer, and in a way, it's our answer. So let's go back to our text just a moment, and I want to read again the answer that God gives to the Israelites about why they cannot have victory moving forward from here. And it says this, so in verse 10, it says, the Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They've taken some of the devoted things. They've stolen, they have lied, and they have put them with their own possessions. That's why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they've been made liable to destruction. I won't be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to the destruction. Go consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There are devoted things among you, Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove them. This story and this passage of Scripture tell us some pretty crucial things if Israel wants to be victorious in this new promised land. And if we want to live as victorious Christian lives, I think we too have to really pay attention to what God shows Israel and what Israel will have to do, because they are essentially the same things that we need to do as well if we're going to live in victory. And the first thing, if Israel is going to be victorious as they march through this land, the first thing that they need to know and live in is that God is Israel's victory. And the same is true for you and for me. Christ is our victory. When they understood that, it changed how they did things. When we understand this, it changes how we live and sets the tone for our whole life. When we see that every area of our life is victorious, not through us trying harder, but that Christ is our victory, then we're starting on the right path. We see from Israel is that the Lord was their victory. The people of Jericho, they saw that. And that's why they were scared. Not because a bunch of slaves showed up on their front door.
But because they knew Israel's God, they knew his power. They knew that their demise was held in the hands of Israel's God. Sometimes I think as Christians, we at least I do anyway, you're probably, maybe you're much different than me, but I'll share my experience sometimes. Sometimes I think as Christians, we thank God for salvation because we get that we can't get to heaven without Jesus. We trust him to be our victory for the next life, for our eternity. But then as soon as we make that commitment, we can kind of get the idea that now it's up to me to be victorious. It's like God taking the Israelites to the promised land and then saying, well, hey, you know what? We've had a good run through the wilderness. You guys take it from here. We'll catch you on the other side. If you make it, that would be great. We'll see you. You clear it, but let me know, and then I'll come back when it's all done. And that's not how it worked then, and it's not how it works now. The Lord is your victory. Just like he was Israelites, it's not about willpower, because it would, we'd be in a lot of big trouble if that's what it was hinged on. Do you see that what you face right now, where you sit right now, Christ is your victory. In your job situation, Christ is your victory. In your relationships that are suffering right now, Christ is your victory. Maybe trying to get a spouse saved you want so badly, and you're trying to do everything, but guess it's going to have to be Jesus. In overcoming bitterness, anger, Christ is your victory. In being an overcomer and becoming all that Jesus created you to become, Christ is your victory. In your struggle, Christ is your victory. One of the things that I've mentioned before is that oftentimes, and I noticed this about myself, we want to make everything about us, but it's not. It's about Christ. It's about the Lord. And if he's going to show who he is through you, if that's part of his plan, to show who he is through you, to show his power through you, then it must be his victory. And that's why we can't do it. That's why no amount of willpower is going to work on this thing. This is why when the general went and scouted out the city of Ai, and he came back and he says, no problem, we can take them. It's not a big city. Matter of fact, don't bother sending the whole army. We could take it with just a few thousand men. And then they get severely thrashed and people died. Listen, this is going to be God's victory, not theirs. So that the next Jericho they come across will say, what the first one did, oh man, we heard about your God. And that's what's going to be said as they move in all the way to the promised land, is that all the other nations are going to look at Israel and say, whoa, we heard about your God. Not we heard about how great you are, Israel. No, we heard about how great your God is. What do you want people to see in your life? Do you want people to see how great you are? Or do you want them to see how great Jesus is? Living in victory starts with seeing Christ as our victory. The second thing, when Israel changes how they see things, that the Lord is their victory, that Christ is their victory, they now have to change what they do. They must surrender themselves to God and his way. And at the beginning, Israel got it. As they came against Jericho, they got it. And that's why they marched around Jericho for 7 days. They surrendered their great plans, their strategic war plans, for God's plan. You see, the war of Israel was not won with swords, not with special weapons. It wasn't how many spears they had, or how many bow and arrows they possessed, or how many chariots they had. It wasn't found in how many fighting men they had, or their vast experience in battle, whether they had a great strategic plan or not. The real battle for Israel was found on the battlefield of surrender. It wasn't their circumstances. If they were in a good position to win a battle, if they had the high ground, or whether they had all the right equipment or enough men. Because that was not the battle that ultimately they were fighting. The battle they were fighting was the battle of surrender. They clanged swords along the way? Of course they did. But the battle was won or lost, as we see in our text, it was won or lost in surrender. Verse 13, you know, they didn't even need all the men because Ai was really not a big city to take. The issue for them really came down to surrender. And I think sometimes we so often get caught fighting the wrong battle as Christians. And then we wonder why maybe there's no victory, just like Joshua did. Again, when they came to the city of Ai, like we said, they looked at the numbers of troops in the city. They looked at the numbers of troops in the city. They looked at themselves. We can win this battle. Our strength versus their strength. And for a lot of us, sometimes we look at our sin and we focus on our sin, how we fail here or there. And I want to tell you that's not the issue this morning. That's not the battle we're fighting. Christ dealt with our sin 2,000 years ago on the cross. Christ is our victory. Sin is merely a symptom of something deeper. We don't want to spend our time on the battlefield of symptoms. Any good doctor will tell you that. A symptom leads to something. What our sin does reveal is that there's something deeper going on. That there's an area in our life that we aren't surrendering to Jesus. Why can't I surrender my anger? Why can't I surrender bitterness? If Christ is our victory, then the real battle is won or lost on the battlefield of surrender. And if you find yourself constantly falling maybe to a particular sin, constantly not being able, you know, God's calling you to things and you just can't ever seem to move forward or get traction. In the area of sin, I say stop trying to focus on the sin. I mean, unless your sin's hurting people, like your sin is punching people, stop that. But try to figure out why you can't surrender to that area to the Lord. Because that really is where the battle will be won or lost. This story in Joshua 7 is about a man named Achan not surrendering his will to the Lord. Not whether or not he has some gold or silver, because that's really inconsequential. There's gold and silver that is fine to have. God used it in building his temple and the things in his tabernacle. That's not the issue. Ultimately, God says to the nation of Israel in verse 13, though, you will never have access to what I've given you without surrender. You cannot experience my victory on your own terms. If you want to have access to all Christ has for you, it's found in surrender. Victory is not about our circumstance. It's not about all the things going on around us. And sometimes we get caught looking at all this stuff around us, but victory is not about the circumstances happening, whether things are good or whether things are bad. Victory really is found in the surrender of the saints. The final thing, and I think there's more, you know, as I was praying this morning, I felt like there's more things I could say, but I'm going to maybe stop here at this third one. But the final thing this morning for Israel is that if they intend to be victorious as a nation, as a people, they cannot lose sight of the big picture. One of the things you notice about Israel, as we've been reading in our reading plan, is that one minute Israel has great focus on the bigger picture, but as soon as they lose sight of that, they end up defeated. I was really very discouraged as I read the book of Judges. Anybody else discouraged as you read the book of Judges? My goodness, everybody did what was right in their own eyes. That was kind of all the way through there. It was horrible, everybody going and doing things that everyone thought was right. Anyway, I digress. Okay, let's get back to where we're at here. But as soon as they lose sight of that, they end up defeated, which was the case here. You see, the issue with Achan as he bursts into Jericho through the crumbling walls that God's just brought down for them, and he sees some things, some gold, silver. I mean, really, is anybody going to miss these? Why destroy these things when they could help my family? Or maybe he thinks, you know, I've worked so hard, I deserve this. Maybe his family needs some help financially, or maybe Achan just saw this as a chance to get ahead. We really don't know why he took these things. I don't think the Bible says that. But we do know where. We know where his eyes were. Was he thinking big picture with his eyes on the Lord? Or was he thinking about himself? And the exact same thing is true for us, that when our eyes are on the Lord and his big picture, what he's doing, it's so much easier for us to surrender to what God has for us. But when we're distracted, when we get so caught up in our own selves, and that's where often we get into trouble. And God says to Israel, you need to surrender to my plans if you want to have access to the land I gave you, and if you want to fulfill the purpose I have for you. For you and for me, we need to keep that in the forefront of our minds, that we don't lose the big picture, that God wants to use you in his great story to reveal his love for the world through your life, that he wants to have a relationship with you. And there is a need for us to continue to remind ourselves of this bigger picture, not to lose sight of this, because it's when we lose sight of this that we begin to look at the gold and the silver and say, hey, I deserve that. This will help me do this or that. Or that person deserves that after what they did to me. When we lose sight of the big picture, just like Achan, it becomes all about us and we forfeit what God wants to do in and through us. And that's one of the reasons, you know, as a church, it's not the only reason, but it's one of the reasons that we're encouraging the Bible reading. It's one of the reasons why we're doing this Bible reading plan together. It's not just to feel better about ourselves so we can look at each other and say, hey, I made it all the way through the Bible. What an amazing Christian I am. Look, I read all the way through Leviticus. Wow. We should have gave out stickers if you made it through Leviticus. No, it's to keep it right in front of us every day. Keeps it right in front of us. There's something bigger going on here. My role today is not just to do as people in Judges did. Everybody did what they thought was right in their own eyes. But that they would come and they would be reminded, hey, my role today is to surrender to his will for me. That's my role. And we read scripture and it keeps us tuned in to the bigger picture. We often divide our church into smaller groups and we get together not just to help each other feel better. I mean, we do that. But really, it's to encourage each other. Keep surrendering. There's something bigger going on. God's got a plan. God will see you through. Hold on, let me pray with you on this. Imagine if Achan's friend saw him stuffing those things in his bag and he comes over to him and he says, no, man. We need to destroy those things. God will take care of us. God will be our victory. Don't worry. Maybe it would have been a different story. We come to church on Sunday. We narrow in again, focusing on Christ, our victory, surrendering to his will. And when we stop to, I think when we start to step away from that kind of community and saturating our minds with the word of God, what happens is it becomes all about us again. Because ultimately, that's the message of the world, and it hits us constantly. Every day, as soon as we leave here, we're bombarded with this same message. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. And we need to keep it in the forefront of our minds that it's not. Walking in victory is not about our circumstances. It's about the surrender of the saints. And I don't know where you are today, but I would venture to guess that some of you right now are wrestling with God on some things. Maybe it's forgiveness or bitterness. Maybe it's for your future. Something you maybe need to give up or something you need to take on. I want to tell you the secret in this whole thing. The secret in life, the secret in living victorious as Christians is found as you surrender to Christ. And if we learn anything from Israel at all, as we walk through the Old Testament together, through the scripture together, if we learn anything from Israel, one of the things that I've learned from Israel is that surrender is the key to victory. And I want to pray with you this morning. And if you're here today and you're facing some big things like that, and you're having a really hard time surrendering some stuff, I'd be more than happy to pray with you over that. I have to tell you, though, I will not pray that you get what you want. I will pray with you, though, that you'll be able to surrender what Christ has for you, because it's in that you'll have victory. So let's pray together. Father, we just come to you today. And God, we're grateful for your word. We thank you for how you love us. God, we thank you for allowing us to be part of your big story. We thank you for saving us, Lord Jesus. We thank you for dying on the cross, seeing where we were so lost, so unable to do anything about our situation. But God, you came in and you did something. This is your story, your victory. And God, as a church, we want to be victorious because you are victorious, because you have done it, Lord Jesus. That our church would lift up the name of Jesus. And that the town or the section of Lynn Valley and North Vancouver would be able to look at Lynn Valley Full Gospel and not say how great the people are that go there, but say how great is their God. And Lord, we understand that this comes as we as a church surrender to you. Your plan, your will, because it's your victory. So Lord, keep us from focusing on ourselves like Achan did. Keep us with our eyes focused on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, have a wonderful day. Enjoy the heat out there. Don't get sunburned. I got sunburned the other day, so stay away from that. But have a great day. Enjoy the hot coffee on the hot day. And if you would like someone just to join with you in prayer, I'd be more than thrilled to be able to do that in regards to what we've been talking about today. Have a great week. God bless you. Some things, some gold, silver. I mean, really, is anybody going to miss these? Why destroy these things when they could help my family? Or maybe he thinks, you know, I've worked so hard, I deserve this. Maybe his family needs some help financially, or maybe Achan just saw this as a chance to get ahead. We really don't know why he took these things. I don't think the Bible says that. But we do know where. We know where his eyes were. Was he thinking big picture with his eyes on the Lord? Or was he thinking about himself? And the exact same thing is true for us, that when our eyes are on the Lord and his big picture of what he's doing, it's so much easier for us to surrender to what God has for us. But when we're distracted, when we get so caught up in our own selves, and that's where often we get into trouble. And God says to Israel, you need to surrender to my plans if you want to have access to the land I gave you, and if you want to fulfill the purpose I have for you. For you and for me, we need to keep that in the forefront of our minds, that we don't lose the big picture, that God wants to use you in his great story to reveal his love for the world through your life, that he wants to have a relationship with you. And there is a need for us to continue to remind ourselves of this bigger picture, not to lose sight of this, because it's when we lose sight of this that we begin to look at the gold and the silver and say, hey, I deserve that. This will help me do this or that. Or that person deserves that after what they did to me. When we lose sight of the big picture, just like Achan, it becomes all about us and we forfeit what God wants to do in and through us. And that's one of the reasons, you know, as a church, it's not the only reason, but it's one of the reasons that we're encouraging the Bible reading. It's one of the reasons why we're doing this Bible reading plan together. It's not just to feel better about ourselves so we can look at each other and say, hey, I made it all the way through the Bible. What an amazing Christian I am. Look, I read all the way through Leviticus. Wow. We should have gave out stickers if you made it through Leviticus. No, it's to keep it right in front of us every day. Keeps it right in front of us. There's something bigger going on here. My role today is not just to do as people and judges did. Everybody did what they thought was right in their own eyes. But that they would come and they would be reminded, hey, my role today is to surrender to his will for me. That's my role. And we read scripture and it keeps us tuned in to the bigger picture. We often divide our church into smaller groups and we get together not just to help each other feel better. I mean, we do that. But really, it's to encourage each other. Keep surrendering. There's something bigger going on. God's got a plan. God will see you through. Hold on, let me pray with you on this. Imagine if Achan's friends saw him stuffing those things in his bag, and he comes over to him and he says, "No, man, we need to destroy those things. God will take care of us. God will be our victory. Don't worry." Maybe it would have been a different story. We come to church on Sunday, we narrow in again, focusing on Christ, our victory, surrendering to his will. And when we stop to, I think when we start to step away from that kind of community and saturating our minds with the Word of God, what happens is it becomes all about us again. Because ultimately that's the message of the world, and it hits us constantly. Every day, as soon as we leave here, we're bombarded with this same message. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. And we need to keep it in the forefront of our minds that it's not. Walking in victory is not about our circumstances. It's about the surrender of the saints. And I don't know where you are today, but I would venture to guess that some of you right now are wrestling with God on some things. Maybe it's forgiveness or bitterness. Maybe it's for your future. Something you maybe need to give up or something you need to take on. I want to tell you the secret in this whole thing. The secret in life, the secret in living victorious as Christians is found as you surrender to Christ. And if we learn anything from Israel at all as we walk through the Old Testament together, through the Scripture together. If we learn anything from Israel, one of the things that I've learned from Israel is that surrender is the key to victory. And I want to pray with you this morning. And if you're here today and you're facing some big things like that, and you're having a really hard time surrendering some stuff, I'd be more than happy to pray with you over that. I have to tell you, though, I will not pray that you get what you want. I will pray with you, though, that you'll be able to surrender what Christ has for you, because it's in that you'll have victory. So let's pray together. Father, we just come to you today. And God, we're grateful for your word. We thank you for how you love us. God, we thank you for allowing us to be part of your big story. We thank you for saving us, Lord Jesus. We thank you for dying on the cross, seeing where we were so lost, so unable to do anything about our situation. But God, you came in and you did something. This is your story, your victory. And God, as a church, we want to be victorious because you are victorious, because you have done it, Lord Jesus. That our church would lift up the name of Jesus. And that the town or the section of Lynn Valley in North Vancouver would be able to look at Lynn Valley Full Gospel and not say how great the people are that go there, but say how great is their God. And Lord, we understand that this comes as we as a church surrender to you, your plan, your will, because it's your victory. So Lord, keep us from focusing on ourselves like Achan did. Keep us with our eyes focused on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, have a wonderful day. Enjoy the heat out there. Don't get sunburned. I got sunburned the other day, so stay away from that. But have a great day. Enjoy the hot coffee on the hot day. And if you would like someone just to join with you in prayer, I'd be more than thrilled to be able to do that in regards to what we've been talking about today. Have a great week. God bless you.